Good morning. From the Old Testament, a reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one is calling. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have. The word of the Lord.
First of all, I want to thank each one of you for helping with the Angel Tree program. We did the Angel Tree yesterday, and if you don't know what Angel Tree is we gave gifts on behalf of their incarcerated parents, the children, and had a celebration here. And so it was a great time. It's a great time to see these children really feel a safe place here, and it's great to get to know the caregivers, and it was good. It was good. So thank you on behalf of myself and my wife for participating and helping. So I appreciate it so much. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to get in your word, and I just pray, Lord, that your spirit will move upon us. We just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. 2003 was probably one of the Christmases of a Hallmark Christmas that I had. We went to Pennsylvania, and we rotate our families, my family, the dysfunctional one, her family, the functional ones. And so we went to Pennsylvania, and what I did is I worked out a way to stay in the house, the building, that we spent our honeymoon at the bed and breakfast. Now, they said that we were closed, and I said, that's okay, I don't need the bed made, I don't need breakfast, and they charged us the same amount, but we were actually the entire bed and breakfast to ourselves. We went to a Christmas Eve service, and Jennifer's old church is this white-looking Baptist church with a graveyard outside, and it began to snow. That's what they do in Pennsylvania, they have graveyards out there. And so what was interesting is when we went back after the Christmas Eve service, it began to snow. And what was fascinating, that the bed and breakfast had little candles outside of every window. And then when we left, this was in 2003, it was full blanket of snow on all the roads. Now, we had a four-wheel drive because I enjoyed renting cars that I could not afford. And so when we had a four-wheel drive, she goes, let's take the back way. And so it was literally down through the hills and through the back, we're going to grandmother's house again. That's what we did. And it was interesting when we were playing these Christmas songs and driving down these roads to grandparents' house, and we were the first one to drive on the snow, listening to this music, and sure enough, her grandparents came out to greet us, and her grandfather was holding a pipe and smoking a pipe, and her grandmother constantly said, do you want something to eat? Do you want something to eat? That was Christmas. But her grandparents are gone. My mom has dementia. And sometimes it's not as good as it used to be. Now, a lot of us, when we think of Christmas like that, or we think of the holidays, it represents what we say comfort and stability. That's why Jennifer and I are watching these crazy Hallmark Christmas movies that have nothing to do with reality. But it's reality that you and I want, of comfort, of stability. And so I'm not complaining. I had some good Christmases with my mom. But not everyone has these stability moments of Christmas or during the holidays, let alone a family that provides comfort. Many people are struggling with abuse or addictions or mental illness and anything other than comforting at times. In fact, I put this on the screen. You did not choose your family, did you? It would have been great if you could, but then you think about it, would they have chosen you? Probably not. And so therefore, we've had a lot of painful experiences in life. In fact, our journey of life has not been an easy one. And so sometimes if we were to describe our lives, we wouldn't use the word stability, nor we would use the word comfort. Now today, I'm continuing our series, The Season of Sanity. And I told you last week that I'm really preaching to myself. And this one that I'm focusing on, called The Sanity in the Family, is something that I really need to hear myself. This was a difficult message to go through because I was going, dang, dude, this is struggling. This is a hard one. And so it's an important topic, and the reason I want to talk about it is many of you will be leaving to go home for the holidays. Many of you will have family that come here for the holidays, or many of you would wish you had the family, or you don't want to see your family. There's a lot of emotions that are pulled up nowadays with Christmas. It's interesting, the Old Testament reading today has nothing to do with Christmas, but it has all to do with going home. So if you look on the screen, Isaiah chapter 40, 1 through 11, it talks about going home and what it means about going home. Isaiah was a prophet in this book, and the book of Isaiah foretells of what God's going to allow. The Babylonians are going to capture the people of Jerusalem, and they're going to be in exile. And so they're going to lose their home. Because God was allowing this because the people were not showing kindness nor compassion to one another or justice, but yet they were practicing their form of religion. And what were they doing? They were practicing this form of religion without mercy and without a spirit of humility. So back on the screen, in a sense, we could say that Jerusalem had become this dysfunctional family. You know, I used to say we put the fun in dysfunctional, but there's no fun, is there, in dysfunctional, if you have a dysfunctional family? And so Isaiah predicted that the people would be taken in captivity by the Babylonians, and eventually that what happened. But Isaiah predicted this. And after the people went into exile, God would restore them, but somehow he would bring them back home. But back on the screen, Isaiah chapter 41 through 11 is about the ancient Jewish people going from exile home to Jerusalem. It's interesting, the Bible talks about this. When they left their home, they left in tears. They were broken. In fact, if you read the book of Lamentations, it says five times it describes them as this, and I put it on the screen, as an abandoned woman who has none to comfort her. No longer a home was a comforting place. Their new home wasn't a comforting place. Now, it's interesting when Isaiah predicted that this would happen. He started off a prayer because he knew what the people needed at that time. And it's recorded in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort. Oh, comfort. My people says, your Lord, home should be a place of comfort. Home should be a place of stability. But it wasn't for them. Home was a place of injustice. Home was a place of shame. Home was a place of discomfort. Once again, it needs to be a home. Comfort. And I think that we can draw some powerful conclusions or analogies from this. And often our home is not a place of comfort to us. I put this on the screen. If there is a major dysfunction, broken relationship, tons of shaming, addiction, abuse, and or mental illness, it is a home. It is a rough place that sets us up for a rough road in life. It is like we leave home, we go into exile. And the trip into exile, like the trip from Jerusalem to Babylon, is a rough one with lots of ups and downs. We will leave home with shame. We will tend to cope with our rough roads in lots of shameful and painful ways. And the luggage we carry with us will be the shame of our past. It is hard for us to imagine that there is such a place of a comforting home, let alone that we will ever be able to find our way back to such a place. I don't know if you remember, do you guys doing that 5K walk for the Home Boys Ministries? Do you guys remember that? The one I didn't show up to? But anyway, don't judge me. I don't talk about judging already. But anyway, Homeboy Ministry, I don't know if you've even eaten at the restaurant. It's the nicest people on the planet, but the scariest looking people at the same time. Because what it is, it's the largest rehabilitation of job training for gang members in the entire country. And so it is scary, but it's just a great restaurant, and I hope one day you can do it. But he writes this, and this is powerful. He said, Father Boyle writes, so people in bondage need liberation, and people in exile need to return home. People who are blind need to see, while people who are sick and wounded need healing. People who are outcasts need community, but we have been programmed to think that sins define us, and that once we have reached that point, there is no going back. Homies have their behavior always on their mind. Their sin is the powerful pack driving their shame. This source of disgrace is never ending, and they are aware that others identify them by it. Now, as long as we're carrying shame, that is like a self-prison that we live in ourselves. We will never feel comfort. We will never have stability, as though this rough road out of exile that we are serving this life sentence. And sometimes it's hard to hide our shame, but we still try to hide it, but we can't hide it. Our past sometimes is tattooed in our entire life, isn't it? That all of a sudden, it's just who we are. And the thing is, who we are, shame drives that at times. Shame becomes our exile into we are stuck serving this time. But notice what God says in the book of Isaiah. In the people of captivity, God starts with the word comfort. And then this is the message from God. It's recorded in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her, so she has served her term, that her penalty is paid. God is not about sticking us with shame the rest of our lives. See, this is the problem. This is where I have difficulties. Because as a pastor or as a person with disabilities, that somehow the shame has been reinforced in me. And so therefore, I'm ashamed of who I am, not my disabilities. My disabilities have become who I am. That's what shame is. And so therefore, God is not about leaving me stuck in the path. God is about bringing me home, not to a home that is messed up, not to a home that is uncomfortable, but God is bringing me home to a home of comfort. Back on the screen. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin and shame. Grace is there, but we're often too locked into our shame to believe it. We often have to serve some time in the prison of shame before we understand the power of the cross. But at some point, God's grace breaks through the prison of shame, and we look at the cross and finally see how much God loves us in spite of all the bad we have done. The cross shows us that at a core, we are not hopelessly bad people. We are just people who've done some very bad things. In fact, we are each so valuable to God in spite of all the bad that was done to us and the bad we have done to others, that God went to extraordinary lengths to pay our debt and set us free from the exile of sin and shame. Now, I don't know if you've listened to lyrics of Christmas music. Now, I was listening to the Christmas song, It's Cold Out There. Is that it? What is it? Baby, it's cold outside. My wife turned it off. hey, don't judge me. I'm just in time. See, and the thing, I'm going, baby, it's cold out there. I go, oh, man. She goes, no, turn it off. And I go, why? Because it's basically hashtag me too. It's about, there's something in that lyric that says that she goes, what's in the drink that you gave me? Is that right? Or something like that. And I go, dang. So I started looking at all these lyrics that we sing. Oh, Holy Night is good. Because if you look at the lyrics of Oh, Holy Night, the line says this, and it's so powerful here. It says this. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Okay, get this. The soul felt its worth. This is the beginning to release shame. When our soul feels the worth. Now, this is interesting that on the way home here, it says in verse 3, a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make the straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Isaiah is saying, look, on the way home, it is wide. It has level to return to God, to bring back the people of Jerusalem. And back on the screen, if home was a rough place of discomfort and the road away from home was a rough one that led to an exile of shame where God seemed to be absent, the road home is a smooth one where the soul finds its worth, that God wants to be known and present in the center of our being. If God is present in the center of being, we are infinite worth. Fear and shame become a thing of the past, and we find a powerful truth in our dignity that is unshakable. The only real truth about us is that we are God's beloved children. That's by Martin Luther King Jr. Now let's go back to Father Boyle. Father Boyle, again, Homeboy's ministry, wrote in his book about this story about this guy that was in prison named Al. And the story that Father Boyle tells about Al is this on the screen. He and I are both waiting for the guards to call yard. It's getting late. Three guards, their shifts having ended, leave the building and walk past us. Al reaches out to one of them and asks if he has the time. He stops, as do the other two, and he makes this big show in looking at his watch. And then he says to Al, it's about time for you to get a watch. The three guards guffaw as they leave, but Al remains feeling the sting of the humiliation. I place my hand on the back. Another brave soul inmate, once the guards are out of earshot, says, why didn't you tell him something? You should have let him get away with that. I look at Al. And you can see right there a transformation. He refuses to cling to the pang of insult and moves quickly to the clinging opposite, cherishing. Nah, he's going home to his wife and kids, he says. What if I said something that got him mad? Maybe he would go home and hit his wife or beat his kids. Nah. Al had a rough road. Al is still in prison. But he found his freedom through his soul force. He was already on his way, on a path of going home. The guard who tried to humiliate him was literally going home and still into exile, still into anger, into frustration, where he's not yet found his soul worth. And this is where he had the need to ridicule this gentleman named Al who was in prison. Jesus appears to the world. So the song, the soul, could find its worth. When we find our soul force, we can go home to any situation, can't we? Even if it's dysfunctional, even if it's crazy, that we can bring sanity in our own families and sane craziness, even if our family is crazy-making. And once our soul has found its worth, there are three things that can bring sanity to the insanity of our homes. I put it on the screen. It's not shaming and not letting shame stick to us. It's about forgiveness. And it's about trying to make amends. First, let's focus on letting go of our shame. A lot of families maintain control when we have shame, don't they? That for me, I'm still trying to get my dad's approval. And I'm still trying to do this because there's shame in here that my dad is a perfectionist with a son with disabilities. And so therefore what happens is you feel like it's my fault. That's what shame does. It's my fault the way I am. And so there's a huge difference between guilt and shame. With a healthy conscience, when it comes to guilt, it's going, oh man, I did something wrong. I blew it. I need to make amends. That's what a healthy conscience would do when they feel guilt. But there's a big difference between guilt and shame. Because shame is not what I did. Shame is who you are. Instead of I did something stupid, shame is I am stupid. I am this. That's what shame is when we live with that identity. It doesn't matter if anyone can tell you you're different, all this. It's what you tell yourself. And so the thing is, this is where it's hard to let this go because shame has such a control over people. And when it does have a control over people, you never have the freedom of stability nor a freedom of comfort. I know what I'm talking about. This is something that I constantly need to release. The second, and this is the first one is shame, but the second is forgiveness. Now remember, forgiveness is not allowing the other, it's not letting the other person off the hook, it's letting you off the hook. Because I'm telling you, they're not thinking about it. They're moved on. But the thing is, forgiveness allows you to move on. And it's interesting, families have this tendency. You know, you just want Jerry Springer in your family sometime so he can interview you and have an audience that would go, Jerry, Jerry, when they fight over the table, okay? And you're going, yeah, I'm normal. This is why we like, you know, TV shows like this, because we go, my family's not that crazy. But, you know, it is in a sense. But when you look at this, is it when it's so awkward, we have dysfunctional people keep score. We know when people have done us wrong. We know that when we've done something this, that they owe us. And so when everyone keeps score, that's a whole dysfunctional family. Forgiveness takes the scorecard away. That I don't need to keep score. I don't need an expectation because you're going to let me down. But forgiveness is very powerful for you because that's a step to healthiness. It's very powerful for me too. And so therefore, it's important that when we have this worth of who we are, then forgiveness is something that happens in our life. But finally, a person whose soul is found is willing to make amends. And notice I said willing to make amends. You're not going to make amends with everybody. But our own dignity, we want to be treated with dignity. But in order to be treated with dignity, we have to treat others with dignity. And that's hard, because the thing is, you want to treat someone the way they're treating you, right? Okay, they want to treat me like, if they want to play that game, we'll play that game. And then you're all bitter and hate each other. Why would you want to play a game that's no fun? You ever did that when you're a kid? I don't want to play, this is boring. Why can't we do this as adults? Or we just go, I ain't playing this game. I'm not playing this game. This year, I just chose not to play the game with my family. And it's a freedom. But the thing is, I had to release the shame in order not to play the game. You see what I mean? Because the shame motivates. When you have the shame in your life, and there's people in this church that are struggling with shame, because I believe that this message is so important for me to be open with my shame, that the Lord wants you to be free of that. Because that has too much control over you, it has too much control over me. And so therefore, it gives us a great start to the life that God wants. Now, you may say, look, this message is totally irrelevant for me because when I go home, my family is healthy. When I go home, it is a place of comfort. When I go home, it is a place of joy. And you know what? Great. That is fantastic that you have a healthy family. But here's the problem with people that have healthy families, some people, not all people. they've become very judgmental towards other ones that are struggling. Because what happens, they go, I wouldn't make those choices. Have you ever had someone judge you for the choices that you made because they've never walked your walk? They've never put your shoes on? And so therefore, if I was you, I would be doing this. I go, well, you're not me. You don't know my past. You don't know what happened in private. And the thing is, what's interesting, going back to shame, this is where, where Jesus says, let the children come unto me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God is theirs. You know how much children struggle with shame because of domestic violence or molestation, that it's their fault? And they grow up as adults with that shame. And so back on the screen, when we offer grace, we are making smooth the rough roads in which people must walk. We are preparing the way for the Lord. We need the Lord to show up so that the souls can find their worth. This is where we give grace. This is where we give grace to one another and care for one another. That's deeply important. So the worship team comes forward at this time. We're going to sing O Holy Night. And what I want to encourage you, if you want to be released from guilt and released from shame, I want to pray with you. And if you want, just stand right here, and we want to pray. I want to pray, because I'm not praying from pastor down to person, down to parishioner. I'm praying peer to peer. Because when I pray for you and lay my hand on your shoulder, I want you to pray back, not out loud, but pray for me, that both of us will release this shame at this time so that this holiday, this Christmas, can be a place of comfort in a place of stability, when we release the shame and release the unforgiveness in our heart. So as we come forward, not come forward, as the worship team comes forward, just Angela comes forward, that if you like, we would love to pray for you.